date? Days?
7. Or 18th.
May 18th, 2015. Talking to Jim Dimmer in his palatial estate in Asbury. But at any rate, Jim, maybe if you want to take us back to some remembrances as far as growing up and being in school. Did you go to Piasta grade school and then?
I went to St. John's Piasta and then to Farley St. Joe's High School and graduated in 1971. And in the neighborhood I was in south of Piasta, we had quite a few families that played lots of sports. So we had two different Brown families that were close by, and Scahills and Riders, and all families had pretty decent athletes in their respective schools. But I remember in my neighborhood, we had one family to the west of us whose kids went to Dubuque-Wallerta High School. We had kids to the south of us who went to Cascade-Aquin. We had most of the kids in the area went to Western Dubuque at Epworth, and our family, because we were tied to Piasta, St. John the Baptist Church, went to Farley St. Joe's, the high school, until it closed.
How'd you get back and forth to school?
The 12 miles. Initially, it was a school bus at Piasta to Farley, so we had to be driven to Piasta. But once we had that point of having driver's license, of course, it's a 12-mile trip back and forth.
So, okay, so then you had to involved in sports and at St. Joe's, and how'd you balance that out with farm work and chores and that sort of thing?
We hustled. I think the motivating factor that my dad always has, if you get this done, you can do this. And I had two older brothers and two younger brothers, and we had a lot of farm work to do, but at the same time, Dad used to say, many hands make light work. And I'm sure he got taught that in his day. So basically it was get the work done, go about your business.
Okay. What about just memories, general memories specifically, anything as far as going to high school at St. Joe's?
Well, one thing I still remember this when I was in 7th or 8th grade, that when you were coaching, Bob, and O-line Sacred Heart played at Western Dubuque, and I'll never forget Jim Jarko's performance in the St. Joe's gym. He was, if the three-pointer were around at that point, he would have probably scored 36. But I think he probably had about 25 or 27 points and almost perfection from the wings as far as shooting basketball. I remember that. And I just remember the crowds. We always had pretty good following at St. Joe's as far as, granted it was a tiny gymnasium, but we could fill that tiny gymnasium, the bleachers, and it made incredible memories as far as the games. We had a couple of big games when I was in high school where we had beaten a ranked O-line team, and we also beat a ranked Lansing St. George team that had a center by the name of John Gruber who ended up at Loras College. So I guess those were a couple of the memories. And senior year of high school baseball was also very memorable. I think we had a 13-game winning streak, and we had a decent team. Didn't have a lot of pitching, and I think that was the downfall of most teams in the area.
Anything else as far as just some experiences you can recall as far as going to St. Joe's? And
well, I remember Latin classes. to be honest, I really, really enjoyed Latin, and I don't know if that was a precursor to me teaching English in high school, but Latin came easy for me, and I think I probably doubled my vocabulary because of Latin, and I remember those classes. I also remember what's kind of unusual. I look at the classes before us, but we had a pretty close-knit group of guys. Our athletes were pretty close. Nine of us started at Loras College in the fall of 1971.
I didn't realize that.
And that was almost unheard of. I mean, I don't think nine boys in the previous three classes together went to to Loras.
No, that's really, I didn't realize it was that many. So you made the decision to go on to Loras after you graduated from St. Joe's?
It was, yes. Well, there was a, don't want to say there's any pressure there in the sense, but my parents still needed help on the farm. And so the next kids were much younger. So the deal was, if I stayed home, or in other words, commuted to Loras, I had my tuition paid. So the good news, when I graduated from college, I did not have any debt.
Okay.
So that was the trade-off. There were nights when I did stay on campus due to weather, due to activities, but at the same time, I was typically up at 5 to 5:30 in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning to do chores, and then bust it to school and be there at 8 o'clock for class.
How long did it take you to make it from farm to campus?
22 minutes. And that was, there were days that was really pressing to get into the seats at an 8 o'clock class.
You made a decision as far as a major, what, your sophomore year? Or?
Yes, in sophomore year. Once I decided that I wanted to be a college student, because that's every person's freshman year, whether are you good enough, are you going to do what's needed to be a college student. I think sophomore year was for me a coming out year, and yes, that's when I enjoyed some professors, Al Schramm, Pat Funnigan, Doctors White and Dr. Augie out of the history department, and that made all the difference in the world.
So you were thinking of a teaching, coaching career?
Yes, I was. I guess I moonlighted as a coach at Loras. I coached our intramural basketball team, our intramural baseball team that we put together, and it just seemed like they looked at me and you take it, and I did, and I think that helped a lot as far as future coaching.
One of my best memories of Loras is the intramural program that Al Schramm ran, and I know he continued that obviously throughout his career, but it was just a lot of fun.
Yes, it was, and we always seemed to have a challenge. I mean, the group of guys that we put together for our basketball team, I know for sure three, if not four, of the people worked at the Dubuque Pack part-time. Mm-hmm. We were we weren't financially gifted in the sense that you had to work for what you got. And my work was on the farm, theirs was at Dubuque Pack, so we had to play the noon hour basketball league.
Okay.
And one of the pluses was that we got to play the faculty. And I remember our centers, Dale Kankel or Jerry Ross, had to guard Laddie Sula.
Okay.
Once Laddie came back and became an economics professor, he was a starting center for Loras in the 60s. So to be able to beat that faculty team, we had to be on our best.
Yeah.
So it was a really good account, a good matchup and a good accomplishment. And I'm sure we lost. I can't remember losing or winning, but I know we've always had great games with the faculty team.
I remember one of the things about it was the fact that I think we played the evening league, and you didn't want to really think about having to play the third game. I think it was the third game because you always exchanged those jerseys every time. And by the third game, the jersey was just sopping with sweat.
Yes, and Al Schramm's classic lines, game's over, leave your shirts.
Oh my God.
And yelling at somebody walking off the floor, unforgetting that they still had their shirt, their basketball jersey on as they were walking out of the Loras Gymnasium. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So what we ended up our senior year was the fact we became the first noon hour team to win the intramural basketball championship.
Okay, wow.
And that for us, I mean, as we looked at it, that was quite an accomplishment.
So who played for you?
Well, we had fellow Bobcat Bill Hafer, fellow Bobcat Jim Clayman, Western Dubuque people, Ray LaSance, Jerry Ross, Dale Kankel. We had Rich McCoy and Kurt Rotzos, who prepped at Dubuque Wallert. And we had Mark Sieberding from Bellevue Marquette.
Okay.
And myself. And my brother Dan also played on the ball club, but he had graduated, so this was our senior year go at it.
Okay. That was some good athletes there. Okay, so now it's your senior year, and now you're looking at prospects for employment. How did that all turn out?
Well, like you're aware, Bob, at Loras College, you get, I guess, the first looks at employment are all through the parochial system. And I was pointed toward, I had an interview at Bloomington, Wisconsin, at a small Catholic middle school. I had an interview at Clinton. I had an interview at Olwine Sacred Heart Middle School. And I had an interview at New Hampton Public School. Those were the interviews initially, and I didn't get offered at New Hampton, but I did get an offer at Bloomington, where I still remember the nun who was a principal kneeling down and asking, "Please, would you come?" The pay was just not very good, and I ended up at North Catholic, which would have been a middle school in elementary middle school in North Clinton, part of the St. Mary's program, and that's where I started teaching and coaching.
Okay, so but at that time, Clinton St. Mary's still had a pretty strong basketball program.
Yes, Clinton had finished second in the state tournament in 74, and coming in 75, they had a freshman by the name of Brett Murphy,
yeah,
who
left-hander,
6'7" left-hander, and kind of paced him through that area. And so I just followed, I guess, in the footsteps at North Catholic, and loved to coach the boys' basketball kids. So I had the 7th and 8th graders, and first year I had just the 7th grade, then next year I had the 7th and 8th grade, and then I added coaching girls.
Okay.
And my first experience of coaching girls, who really didn't have coaching before there, was just awesome. I was blessed. We had a very, very good girls basketball team my second and third year at Clinton, okay, North Catholic.
So you must have gotten to know John Lingle a little bit.
Yes. In fact, John's brother Bob, his kids went to the school where I taught at. And Bob's oldest daughter, Barb, was my go-to. She, on three or four different occasions in middle school, had 40-plus points.
Wow.
And she led, actually, Clinton St. Mary's to the state championship in girls 1A girls basketball, sixth player in the late 70s.
Okay, so you were there for how many years?
I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
And negotiating a contract for the fourth year, I went to the Lions Middle School, Clinton Community, or Clinton High School, and talked to their athletic director and found some facts and figures. And I compared what I did versus what they did, and I took that number to the school board and took it and divided it by, or took 80% of that number and said, "This is what I want for next year." That didn't go over real well.
Okay.
And then I got the interview at Western Dubuque and proceeded to sign at Western Dubuque.
Okay, so your first assignment at West Dubuque was what?
Middle school language arts. And then I also volunteered my first year as a girls basketball freshman assistant.
Okay.
And I worked with Stu Sass, and of course Chuck Bailey was the head coach at the time. And another volunteer at that same time was Bill Hafer, a high school college classmate of mine. So we just kind of found our niche.
Okay. You found a home.
I found a home.
So, okay, so you stayed middle school till...
I stayed middle school at the at Farley for 2.5 years. And by process of being junior person on the pecking order, if you will, I was transferred to Dyersville, and I taught shared time students for approximately 6.5 years, and had three different principals there: Brian Heideck, one of my former high school coaches, Tom Wickham, and longtime middle school principal Tim Showalter. But I think that's where I really got into the teaching area of language arts and really started to enjoy it, and had kids produce publications. And then when the shared time closed, I was fortunate enough to get a position at Western Dubuque High School.
Who did you replace at the high school? I don't remember the circumstances. Or was that?
I'm not sure. I think if Tom O'Brien was there and got riffed.
Yes, he did.
And I think I took that position, and then somebody else left, and then Tom came back, and somebody, yeah, and then he was back and forth a couple of times.
I talked to Tom a while back, and in fact, he contacted me because he was at Medical Associates, and in a good position, but he wants to get back into teaching, so he asked me to do a recommendation for him, which I did. And that was only a year and a half ago, maybe. But at any rate, he was telling me that when he got ripped, then he came back and went into computer science and got ripped again because they didn't have a seniority
for computer science.
For computer science. So that was enough for him. So he lost a real gifted teacher twice. I remember that situation.
Yes, we did.
But at any rate, so that was your, you moved into the high school.
The fall of 1988.
Yeah, okay. So what was your assignment at that point?
I was teaching communication, and then I was also, I was at the bottom of the poll again, so I had low ability juniors and some low ability sophomores for a couple of years.
Okay.
And until we shared that responsibility, as opposed to having one teacher with having all of them. So then I became communication skills person, which was the speech, as well as juniors in American literature.
Okay, let's back up a little bit as far as your coaching experiences at the high school.
Okay.
That goes back into the early 80s.
So I'll back up even a little bit further. In the early 80s, after I helped with the freshman 1 year, I got hired as a middle school coach and worked with Bill Betts and eventually Mike Healy. I coached 7th grade basketball for the boys. I coached 8th grade basketball for the girls. The girls, of course, was 6th player, and I coached the defense. And whatever triggered it, Chuck Bailey liked it well enough to say, why don't you come over here and help us at the high school on occasion? Because at that time in the early 80s, one of the things that I think I did probably discovered from places like Lakeview, Auburn, was what I call it, and what they called was the inside triangle on defense, where you double-teamed as often as possible up at the half line on this old 6-player girls basketball, and limited the chances for the forwards to get a fast break. And eventually I felt I got comfortable with that. I went from the middle school to the high school when Bill Hafer became the head coach in the fall of 1983, and I became his assistant. So we coached 6-player basketball in the 83-84 season and the 84-85 season. And so we saw the classes coming up. We had good young talents.
Yep.
When I left the middle school, we had a couple of undefeated teams, and we wanted to capitalize on that. So the 84-85 team was, I'll still say to this day, the deepest team of athletes that I coached at Western Dubuque High School.
Some great athletes in that team.
And so our experience that year was we went 23-2, lost to Ankeny in the state tournament, and probably the only reason we lost to Ankeny was two green coaches. Just about say that if we had...
Well, one sprained ankle, maybe.
And one sprained ankle. if we would have had a little more experience, because we went against Dick Rasmussen, who was a very experienced Ankeny coach, and if we just probably showed that in that experience, we probably would have, who knows where we would have gone.
Yeah.
So we came back in 86, I think, more determined, and we went to the six-player program, and the transition was less than spectacular early on in the season. I remember going down to Monticello and scoring maybe 30 points and winning the ball game, but pulling our hair out, to say the least. But by the end of the 85-86 season, we had started experiencing real success and ended up getting beat by Cedar Rapids Jefferson team in the second round of districts. And that Jefferson team had a Becker who went to Iowa to play basketball, or no, went to St. Ambrose to play basketball, and a guard, Robin Threet, who became All Big Ten at Wisconsin. And we lost by, I believe it was 7 or 9 points. Mm. And that set the stage for 86-87, and that was our first opportunity to go back to state, and we won a state championship.
Yeah, that was, I think back to those kids, some great athletes on that team, every position.
Yes, we were really blessed, but when you look back at that, not only did we have great athletes, that was probably one of the smartest teams.
Yeah.
We had Kim Kleisner, Erica Kilberg, Joan Steffen, Lisa Wegman, who was the class valedictorian, and then, of course, our all-state center, Shelly Barden. And we had Carla Birds and Jolene Horsfield off of the bench. And yes, I believe they were all honor students and just tremendous listeners.
So that was there's so many great memories of that that year. And actually, you guys lost the last game of the season, right? The
last regular season of the game to Dyersville Beckman.
At Beckman. Yes.
On a missed free throw, defense after a missed free throw.
And I remember what you wound up at Cedar Falls, didn't you? As far as, was that the final?
The sub-state finals. I believe it was called the sub-state final.
Benton-Shelsburg.
And we played Benton-Shelsburg.
Yeah. And they had a good team.
Yes. They were very, very well coached. With the Hall of Famer, Harold Shepard was the Benton-Shelsburg coach. And we scouted each other so well, I think we should have invited each other for dinner that year. There wasn't a home game at Western Dubuque from January on through the end of the season that someone from Benton-Shelsburg wasn't at our place. And every opportunity we had to scout Benton-Shelsburg, we took advantage of it as well.
Yeah. So that was, 86-87. Okay, so Bill decided to head north after that year. So take us from there.
So fall of 1987 or the summer of 87, I became the varsity girls basketball coach at Western Dubuque. And we had pretty decent talent coming back. We didn't have quite the depth we did the year before, but we had a 16-6 season and got beat by Dubuque Senior, 2 games away from state in 1988. And it was just unfortunate. It was a very, very physical game. We got beat by Dubuque Senior. I believe we lost by 7. And after we'd, what I call, we upset Wallerts on the go. Wallert probably had much deeper talent than we did that year, with definitely one of the best players, Janine Gremmel, in Eastern Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
So we beat Wallert at Wallert, and then we got beat by Dubuque Senior at Wallert. And then from there, we had a down year in 89, but I coached for, I guess at that point, 13 more seasons.
Okay.
And I would say our best ball clubs, we had three different streaks of really good ball clubs. The 90-91 ball clubs that featured Michelle Gowell and Don Hafler and Nikki Moss in that group. So that was, we were in sub-state 2 years in a row there and got beat by what I would call much bigger ball clubs. And then in the mid-90s, we had Sarah Nauman, Sarah Elgin, and Molly McAllister, and ran into Dubuque Senior and Amy Herrig 2 years in a row. And there wasn't much we could do. Amy Herrig ended up to be a four-year starter at the University of Iowa.
Yeah.
And we just could not get over the 6'3 girl with our 5'10 and 5'11 post players. And then we had one more, I had one more really good cycle, the 98-99 ball club that featured about three or four or five, 10 players in Jesse Hogan and Tracy White and Trisha Ryder and Brooke Featherston, and along with shooting guard Katie Rasmussen and point guard Abby Rudin. And that was a very good ball club. And again, we ran into 6'4" Nina Smith out of West Waterloo. And try as it may, we just couldn't control the inside game.
Yeah.
And then I left coaching after the coaching basketball after the 2000 season.
Okay. excuse me. Just you had some over those years, Jim. You had some great colleagues at teaching colleagues at Western Dubuque. You want to recollect on any of those that you can?
Well, teaching in the English department, yes. I taught for years with Jerry Schmidt. Not only taught with Jerry Schmidt, I coached with Jerry Schmidt. Jerry was our sophomore basketball coach for years until he got out of basketball. And as far as English department, Lois Tyson, who is now deceased, who just died this past spring, Lois was probably the greatest mentor I would have had as far as doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get it done the right way, get after them until they do. Mm-hmm. And get after them until they do. Mm-hmm. Lois is very, very strong-willed as well as very, very intelligent and a very successful teacher at Western Dubuque.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times that I've run across alumni, whether it's a conversation or a written form, that give credit to her for their success in college and beyond. You know, she was such a great person and a great teacher.
So, in addition to Lois, we had Linda Olson, Al Ead, were a couple of the strong English teachers. Darlene Rush, who, like myself, came from the middle school over to the high school and transitioned in. And all very strong teachers. Very, very strong. And Darlene followed up what Lois Tyson did after Lois retired. And in the year 2000, I was very privileged. Darlene Rush had taken Lois Tyson's spot as department head. And in 2000, I became the department head after Darlene retired. And not only that, I got to teach in the same classroom that Lois taught in for years and years. And I felt very privileged with that.
Okay.
But we always, at Western Dubuque, we always felt strongly about our writing program. The writing program, to me, was outstanding.
Right. Yeah, it was... you know, when you think back about that faculty, all those years in the 80s and 90s, and we had some great people. I mean, up and down the line.
I think we can match faculty with any school system.
Yeah.
At the high school level.
I guess, you know, in having a conversation with Wayne Drexler this past year and a half, and I could see from what he told us that when he interviewed for positions, he was not particularly interested in hiring the person that would be paid the lowest amount. It was the person that was the most talented and could offer the most for the kids. And I give him credit for doing that for a lot of years.
I think Western Dubuque's had their up and downs with that. Some of those since Wayne has left, as far as I don't want to pay X dollars, and sometimes that shows, but I know Wayne Drexler really did hire a very solid staff. And I think we're coming back to that cycle currently in 2015 that we are hiring best candidates, regardless of where they fit on the pay scale.
Yeah, so you have some pretty good insights to that because you're still subbing, aren't you, as far as...
Yes. I don't sub very often. I've only subbed, I think, 6 times since I've come back from Arizona, from wintering in Arizona. But, yes, I have pretty good ties with a lot of the teachers at Western Dubuque yet and kind of sort of see what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, thanks for your insights and your... remembering this and that over the years, and it's good to sit down and be able to kind of think back on those years of experiences and all the kids that went through it. You know, it happened again to me Saturday. We stopped at Hy-Vee and we're walking through, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hey, Mr. Howard." So I was saying, "Do you remember me?" Most I can't. But this guy said, "Pat Heiderscheid, class of 83. So yeah. you never know.
That is a welcome feeling. You get out, whether it's shopping or going to a sporting event or to a family function, all of a sudden someone sees you that would have taught. Carol and I went out for breakfast yesterday at Village Inn. And I looked across, and there was this young lady, and I knew right away who she was, and I didn't know if she recognized me. And all of a sudden, she got a big smile on her face. It was Dr. Tasha Willman, who was back for her brother's graduation at the University of Iowa. She is currently as a dentist in Houston, Texas, and came over and sat down, big smile on her face, and started talking about the days of in high school, wondering if I was still teaching. So you're right. You run into them any place, anywhere.
Well, Tasha was our next door neighbor, Farley, when she was real little, before we moved. But last year I was in Florida, and sitting at the Daytona 400 the day before the 500. And all of a sudden this guy comes up, he said, "You're Mr. Howard, right?" "Yeah." He was an Amman from Farley that lived in Minneapolis.
Oh, yes.
He brought his family down for the race. And so you never know.
Right. It is a small world.
Anyhow. Well, thanks.